Good afternoon. We'll call the meeting to order at 4:09. We'll stand for the pledge. Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for not taking any leaves.
All right. Did everybody have a chance to look up in the minutes from the last meeting? Do you have a motion to approve the minutes?
Make a motion.
All right.
Second.
All right. All in favor of approving the minutes from last meeting?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, moving on. We're going to the staff report.
Yes.
Discussion of the Tomfool Park.
Yeah, was that placed on the agenda by?
Me.
Okay.
I did that.
Did you want me to explain why I was?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a pretty good idea of why, but I think we should.
Well, it's been an ongoing thing. I've been just using my Go request rather than calling you guys. Just, it seems easier. But it got to a point, well, it was probably about, Lisa, probably about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, where somebody had posted on Facebook that the park had basically been kind of taken over by, I wouldn't say homeless people, maybe just people that, I don't know, they were drinking and, you know, passed out on, you know. So it was just, it was not a pleasant place for families to go or people to go. So the police were called and it, you know, it was taken care of. But I'm wondering, it's such a small park, so it doesn't take much for it to just feel like you just off limits, you know. Where sometimes in the bigger parks, people kind of will, you can still go to the park, but that's one of the ones that were.
I went by there last Sunday and I saw the same thing that you saw. There was probably three adult males that had gathered up trash bags full of recyclables and they dumped them out on the park grounds and were separating them like it was their own material recycling facility. I did notify and consult with PD. I've talked to Jennifer Correll. They're doing what they can. I mean, there's limitations. There's actually a Ninth Circuit court ruling that the city of Boise is appealing, and the city of Los Angeles and I think Long Beach are on board and they're trying to help keep that going. And if they overturn the ruling, then I think it'll give our police department a little bit more latitude, I guess you should say, a little bit more latitude as to what they can enforce and what they can't enforce. Right now, I mean, during the daytime hours, they can go in there if there's alcohol, you know, if they're drinking, they can cite them for drinking in public. If they, you know, if they're breaking any laws, they can cite them for that. It's difficult. Through my discussion with PD, it's difficult for them to, because my question is, why can't you get those people for littering? Mm-hmm. You know, it's obvious. Mm-hmm. But unless that they see that person litter and then leave, they just don't feel like there's anything enforceable there.
Right.
But PD is well aware of it. I talked to Jennifer today, and she said that in one of their briefings, they discussed the concerns at Tom Gould. Also, we had a complaint, another complaint, and I've met with both of the soccer operators out at Nunez Park, a complaint about drinking, the participants, the spectators, claims that there's somebody out there, a street vendor that's vending beer out of a push cart. An ice cream vendor that is selling alcohol-infused treats.
Wow.
So I called both of the operators in yesterday and the day before and put them both on warning that, you know, they're responsible for the activity that's going on in the soccer area.
Mm-hmm.
I can't expect them to control what goes on in the rest of the park or
right.
in the parking lot. But I have made it clear to them that we're going to hold them accountable for everything that goes on in the area that they're using, and that the leniency is, there's going to be no leniency if the activity doesn't start to at least show improvement and completely be gone in a short period of time, then we're just going to unfortunately have to pull their permits. We're not in the business of eliminating programming by any means, but we can't turn a blind eye to those things just to keep the programming there. It could possibly result in, you know, us pulling their permit for a short period of time and saying, okay, you're without the facility for a month. Let them come back in and see if they can abide by the rules. And if they can't, then it's just going to have to be that we part ways with them and bring another operator in. But I have talked to the lieutenant for both those areas, or each of those areas, and I've talked to the chief of police, and they're aware of what's going on, and they have committed to adding some additional patrols over there. Because my concern also is you get 50 to 100 people in one area, and it's men's adult soccer. They bring their kids out there. They drink for 3 or 4 hours while they're watching the soccer games, mm-hmm. and then they put their kids in the car and drive down the street.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
You know, I can't control how they raise their kids or what impression they make on their kids. My only option is to try and take us out of the equation.
Exactly.
and eliminate that. So we are addressing it. We do have and continue to have challenges when it comes to enforcing the, you know, what we would think would be societal rules of our parks and our open spaces against the transients and the homeless. Meadowbrook Park is a good example. Our public works guys are over there almost on a daily basis doing something, either putting rock in, they were putting DG in some areas yesterday. Every morning you go by there, it's completely trashed from the homeless. Then you go by there about noon, it's all cleaned up, and then you go by there, and I go by there on my way home, and it's on its way to getting in the same condition that it was in the morning. So I know that Ernesto and the guys have added additional trash cans and replaced the trash cans at Meadowbrook Park, and the trash cans look great, but it really isn't changing anything. It's not changing the activity in the park, and it's not changing what the people in the park do. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's the difficult part. So hopefully PD can stay on top of it and help with that. But as far as eliminating it, there's just not a real good solution to that right now.
Right.
Isn't there a city ordinance that you can't drink in the parks?
There is a city ordinance that there's no drinking allowed in the parks. The challenge that PD has expressed to me is the district attorney is not prosecuting those types of incidents unless the officer actually sees the person drinking.
Mm-hmm.
To make the assumption, because somebody has a cold bottle of beer in front of them and there's nobody else around and the beer is half empty and he has beer on his breath, that's not enough for the, I guess, for the district attorney's office to move forward with it. So there's a lot of challenges. Our PD is handcuffed in a lot of ways.
I was gonna bring the conditions of the parks as well, because there's been several times where I've driven by that park too, and they, like, it's just overrun by adults. So the children are not able to use them. The families are not able to use them. And also, like, I was by Wildwood Park. So while it wasn't in the park, it was like out on the street, but I saw somebody actively engaged in what appeared to be they were shooting a needle in their arm with a substance.
But let's.
It could have been their diabetes medicine.
Yeah.
But
let's be clear though. We're not talking about the conditions of the park. We're talking about the public use of the park.
Right.
And that's our challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have the nicest park in the world, but if it's full of undesirable users, people are not going to use them. But we don't have the right to go in there and say you're not allowed to be in the park because you being here makes other people not want to come. Now we can definitely try to get PD to enforce the municipal code, And obviously seeing somebody drinking alcohol, somebody urinating in public, somebody using drugs, dealing drugs, you know, engaging in prostitution, those types of things, absolutely PD can enforce those. But the chance of them being there to see that, and I mean, it's we that's the challenge that we have. And what's going on in our parks has to be, I mean, it's a priority issue, really, for our police department, and it's a challenge. But we're those types of activities are not on the high crime.
So target. Can we get courtesy, maybe courtesy patrol, even though it's not on high crime?
But what
so
do they
maybe?
Not patrol? While they're providing a courtesy patrol to us, the question is, what are they not doing?
Because I've sometimes, and again, I don't know because I'm not on PD's radar. Like, I don't know what their radio scans look like and what calls are coming in and out of the city. But sometimes I see PD just sitting in the parking lot talking to a car when a courtesy patrol that might take 15 seconds to just a show of, like, hey, driving by a park, could potentially be enough for someone to say, maybe I'm not going to have that drink in the park right now.
I don't disagree with you, and that's discussion that I have had. But with PD, a lot of times you don't know what they typically have on at any given time 10 to 15 calls right. on their log that are prioritized. So if there's a call at the park that somebody's drinking, that's a low priority right. crime. It may move up, but then, you know, an assault with a deadly weapon might come in and move that thing right back down to the bottom. We just don't have the.
It's a shame because I don't go on all, like, I'm on social media, but I'm not like crazy on social media, but I even see like people repeating, their parks are not safe here, mm-hmm. you know, my kids, a shame, 20 years ago I could take my kids yeah. to the park, and now I won't even, we go to Redlands, we go to, you know, wherever. And, you know, the murder that was at Delman Heights, yeah, I mean, it's such a shame. There's so many good things going on at our parks, there's so many good programs, mm-hmm. and, I mean, once you get people to come see what's going on, they feel more comfortable, but a lot of people just stay away because they...
Right. And these are things that are happening. These are incidents that are happening in our parks that are a result of the city, the crime rate that we have in the city, the things that are going on
right.
in the city. You know, not to discount or underscore mm-hmm. the fact that somebody was murdered in the park, but it was at 2:30 in the morning
yeah.
too. You know. There are steps that we can take to block those areas off, but you know it's difficult. I every morning I get up, I look at the sun to make sure that nothing happened in one of our parks. That you know.
Can I just one thing? If I understand that PD maybe can't courtesy call the parks, but what about some of their explorer? Because you know, because really it's just about sometimes a show of a presence, right? And so some people, especially if you're already inebriated, you don't know the difference. You just see a police car and you think, oh, well, they have the authority.
Right.
Again, maybe I shouldn't be
and
doing
those are
this
discussions
or
that would need to be had with PD. I do know when we had park security through the police department several years ago that would patrol our parks, lock up the gates. They were employees of the San Bernardino Police Department. What ended that was that, I mean, again, these are not officers. These are not full-fledged police officers. They're security officers, security guards. At one of our parks, they ended up approaching a vehicle to tell them it was time for that vehicle to leave the park because they were closing the gates. And when they approached the vehicle, there was an individual in the car with a gun on his lap. At that point in time, our police chief, which is no longer our chief, but our police chief said, that's the end of it. I'm not going to take a security guard, a person that's not trained to handle that
right.
type of situation, and put them in that situation. It's just not safe. So you know, those are the types of challenges. We had Platinum Security for a while. They got cut out of the budget, so
no surprise.
Our challenges just continue to rise. We have park staff, but again, with park staff going out and trying to be enforcement officers, we're putting them in a position where I'm not comfortable doing it, and to be quite honest with you, I wouldn't put my staff, now that they're with Public Works, I know Alex feels the same way. He's not gonna take a park maintenance guy and expect them to do and take enforcement action.
No way.
We really need to just keep, we need to continue to try to draw good people to our parks in whatever way possible. If it be through special events, if it be through upgrading the facilities, the best deterrent for the negative crowd is to bring the positive crowd out, because they don't mix well.
And you're gonna have to change the city ordinance. We're gonna have to make up new laws on the parks to get control back on parks.
And that's, again, there's a challenge. We don't have the right to create an ordinance that is a violation of somebody's civil rights.
All the other cities are doing it.
What about strengthening the bond with the community associations, and maybe have them have their meetings at our parks to bring that crowd? Because usually the people that are involved with that are usually, you know, people that are mindful of others, mm-hmm. you know, their neighbors, and picking up their trash and stuff like that. So maybe we could try to, each one of our commissioners, talk to their community.
To their neighborhood association president.
Yeah, and start to try to.
About potentially having them on a Saturday afternoon at one of the park shelters or something like that.
Yeah, or even have, you know, just walking through the park, you know, maybe have a couple of adults, you know, just making sure, you know, and talking to people, like, respectfully, like, hey, you're going to pick up your trash.
Mm-hmm. I would say that to anybody.
It doesn't, because there's been several times where I've been at the park, and this is 39th Street Park, so it's one of the lower, you know, it's one of the lower parks where, like, not much happens, because.
Which park?
39th Street. So the Harrison Park, Harrison King. But there's been several times people have been drinking, smoking out there, and I've personally, like, hey, like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to butt in your business, but I have my daughter out here, so do you mind, like, maybe going to the back bench or somewhere, not, like, right at the front bench in front of the swing? And they've, like, cussed me out. And I'm like, I'm just saying, like, I know you might do that around your kid, but I don't have that stuff around my child. And so just, like, out of respect for my kid, do you mind? And they'll, after I get cussed out, they'll go to the car. But it's like, you know, so even if you have somebody else do it, like, I don't mind approaching people and taking the blunt of it, as long as at the end of the day they're not doing all kind of crazy stuff around the kids. But it's just, it's a lot happening at the parks right now. And it's not really a safe place to take, even for myself, like, it's not really a safe place to take kids.
Yeah, and again, I mean, the real, I mean, we have to find a way to get PD support and PD presence. And at this point, I just haven't been able to really garner that and put that together. I can continue to talk to the chief and the lieutenants and just try to impress upon them how important it is, not just for the community to be able to use the park, but from the standpoint that a lot of the bad things that are happening in the neighborhoods around the parks are a result of what the people are doing in the parks mm-hmm. prior to going out into the neighborhoods.
Right.
You know, you get five or six people gathered at a park that are all drinking, they go home and, you know, they leave the park and they're in a different state than when they got there, and it's leading to a lot of negative activity in the areas around our parks, which really should be the nicer areas of our city. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when people come and look at houses, they look at, you know, is it close to a park? It's right across the street from a park, but we don't want that. We don't want that to be a deterrent to a potential homeowner.
Right. It's supposed to be something that's a plus.
So I will continue to work with PD and keep these issues at the top of their list of things to do.
Does PD get invited to this meeting?
What's that?
Does PD get invited to this meeting? Like,
no.
No.
Now, I could invite, I mean, if you guys would like to discuss the park security at our next meeting, I could ask some representative from the police department to be here.
I think that would be great. And I just want to, what Jacob was saying, it's like partnering with neighborhood associations or, you know, neighborhood watches, just to have more visibility in the parks is a really good, Wildwood Association already is, you know, they're very involved with that park. That's, but trying to maybe match up some other ones, that might be.
And another thing that I guess you guys could help with is to communicate and communicate with your neighborhood association presidents. I understand how frustrating it gets to report things to PD and nothing happens, or the perception is that nothing happens. Maybe PD rolls through there 3 hours later, and I mean, I've experienced it myself. PD rolls through 3 hours later, nothing's going on, they roll out. But the benefit of that is continue to tell them, continue to make those calls and those reports, not with the expectation that there's going to be a police officer there to handle the situation immediately. Maybe it happens, likely it won't, but at least there'll be a record of those calls coming in, and PD can now go back to their calls for service, and you know, because they can map out the hot spots and stuff like that. And if they've got 15 or 20 calls of this activity going on at Wildwood Park or at Meadowbrook Park, something like that, then when I go talk to them, there's, you know, there's justification, there's right. some sort of basis for me to request that additional service.
Right, that makes sense.
But please don't stop calling just because you feel like you're not getting the PD's response. It still has an effect.
Always call.
Yeah.
And you can always sign up and do a ride-along with the police officer. Anybody can.
Wow.
You go on and fill out the paperwork and they'll do it and get a background check. And then you can do a ride along for 4 or 8 hours, however long you want to ride.
And that might be a good idea. That might be a good idea for you guys to, you know, because it is easy to, I say the same things that you do. How hard is it to just stop for 5 minutes and write this guy a ticket? But until we have ridden in that seat with them and know what their challenges are, I think it's, you know, we should probably get a perspective of what their challenges are, and maybe we'll have a little bit better understanding of why things happen the way that they do. And then that gives you guys an opportunity to be able to communicate with, you know, the constituents in your ward when they have questions of you about, hey, you know, I just saw a cop drive right by and there was a guy drinking beer here and he didn't stop and do anything. But they might not know that, you know, that cop's on the way to a, you know, level 2 call or something like that.
Assistant of the officer. Because I know when I rolled a few times, on his screen was over 100 calls.
Wow.
And it never got under 100. I rolled with him for 6 hours one time.
Wow.
Not once did it get under 100. And he was, the priority calls automatically go to the top.
Yeah.
And that's where they would.
Did they give you a vest and a gun? No?
You should have a permit for that already.
Oh my goodness. All right, so you'll ask if they're available, someone, a representative?
Yeah, we'll,
okay.
And we'll put on the agenda as a discussion regarding park security, and we'll put in this title on it.
Okay, I just realized I didn't call roll. Sorry.
That's okay.
So can we move on?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Okay. For the agenda item request, let's start with Charlie. Do you have any agenda item requests?
No.
I do not.
Okay.
Do you have?
Okay.
Not this time.
Okay.
So
I wanted to just check one thing. I was talking to somebody that her husband was in the school board in Riverside, and she said that how they went about kind of doing, working with the schools was not, they didn't work with the, is it Peachtree that they, yeah.
Oh, Peachtree.
They didn't work with them. They just went through the PTA. And that was just the way they worked around it, because they would just contact the president of each school's PTA. I mean, it's a little bit of work, but then they were just able to pass things out and then the PTA was able to distribute it. I just wanted to know.
That's an avenue we can look into.
Yeah, okay. All right, so moving on to the director report.
All right, I've got a few items that I wanted to make you guys aware of. The first one was an agenda item that went to council last night. And I wanted to just fill you guys in on the action that council has taken. And what it's regarding is the insurance money that was received by the city for the damage to the Meadowbrook Bridge. The city received $812,000 from the insurance company for the damage to Meadowbrook Bridge that happened when we had the homeless fire underneath. And through several meetings and tons of discussion, initially we, Public Works and I, took a proposal to council to replace the bridge. That was shot down, and they basically said, majority of the council said they would rather see the money go to other projects in the parks, and that the bridge was not a necessity for Meadowbrook Park. But we were directed to get quotes on several different projects. The projects that we were directed to get quotes on was rehabilitation of the soccer field at Nunez Park, rehabilitate the existing bridge, complete the design of the bridge, which has already been started, rehabilitate the 5th Street parking lot at Nunez Park, and then rehabilitate the parking lot at Lytle Creek Park. That was presented to council last night. There was a substitute motion made, and what ended up ultimately being approved by council last night was to complete the design for a new bridge at Meadowbrook Park, which is already 80% complete, so there was no going back on that. That's at $40,480. Hire a company to rehabilitate the existing steel bridge and put a steel mesh deck on it, as opposed to a wood deck like was on it before. So it won't be able to, they won't be able to use it for shelter against rain. It'll still have some shade, but it'll be a lot less inviting for encampments underneath. That's costed at $76,438. Council directed to not move forward with the rehabilitation of the soccer field at Nunez Park, but to move forward with the rehabilitation of the 5th Street parking lot at a cost of $175,000, and rehabilitate the K Street parking lot at Lytle Creek at a cost of $210,000. And then there was an additional $150,000 appropriated for improvements at Nicholson Park. So Nicholson Park, I'm going to get with Alex and Public Works, and the primary goal is to get the irrigation, mm-hmm. Get the power restored, get the irrigation back in working order on the park, and then if $150,000 is enough, continue irrigation repairs on the two baseball fields in the back.
That's good news.
Yeah, we definitely need the soccer field mm-hmm. redone at Nunez Park. It's mm-hmm. it's our only soccer field in the city that we program. So I started looking at some potential grant opportunities. Mm-hmm. The majority of them have a match component of about 50%. So I'm gonna get with Public Works and put together a more comprehensive project proposal as well. One of the problems with Nunez Park is on the 4th Street side, the soccer complex has a chain link fence there, and on Friday and Saturday nights, there's countless numbers of trucks just backed up there, and that's where a lot of the beer drinking goes on mm-hmm. while they're watching the game. So potentially what I'm gonna propose to Public Works is doing some sort of a fence there that's either block or concrete panels, something that you can't spectate from that area, and hopefully that'll stop that and bring them into the park where we have a little bit better control over what they're doing. So we'll put it together and see if we can find some alternative funding and get that done before too long, because it's not going to be long where we're not going to be able to use that field.
For the grants, I know you get a lot of park grants who, you know, the state parks and things like that, but does healthy communities, do they do anything like with athletics, or is that not?
There's some opportunities there, not like with the state parks grant or the land and water conservation funds. That's where the larger amounts are available, and the need that we have is really for those larger amounts.
Okay.
So that was the Meadowbrook Park Bridge funds update. And now the fun stuff. In your packets, you guys, if you want to open them up and pull them out, there's a flyer in there for our Kaboom Playground build at Littlefield Children's Park, and there's also a flyer in there for the PD fundraiser that'll be happening on the
26th.
They were the last ones.
They was adding that. So
the good news is that we did get confirmation from Kaboom that we are moving forward with the playground build at Littlefield Schultz's Park. And we got the San Bernardino Police Officers Association to cover the $8,500 grant match. And we've got, so if you guys look at your flyers there, you will see that the sponsor group is Dr. Pepper Keurig. So Dr. Pepper Keurig is funding all of the playground equipment and the installation. Police Officers Association came up with the $8,500. Stater Brothers is also on board, and they'll be working with us to provide the food and drinks for the build days and stuff like that. And what we really need from you guys is to support the POA on their barbecue fundraiser on the 26th, if you guys are available, and start recruiting some volunteers to work on Build Day, which is November 16th.
For the volunteers, are they going to show up that day?
Actually, there's information if you could have them contact, kind of at the bottom, I believe it says contact Erica.
I see it. Let me start reading that flyer.
Because we have to come up with about between 100 and, well, between 75 and 100 volunteers for Build Day, and 25 volunteers for the prep days, which are 2 days prior to that. So we are keeping a log of all the volunteers, so we can keep track of those numbers. Dr. Pepper is going to bring probably about 50 that day. I would think that Stater Brothers should probably have a handful of them out there as well. When you guys are recruiting and talking to volunteers, one of the things that Kaboom asks is that if we have an organization that wants to send some people, like we typically have, Food for Less comes out to a lot of our stuff, they like to limit that number of people from each organization to about 10, roughly 10. And if they come, they have to come in street clothes. They can't come advertising. Especially Food for Less, we've got Stater Brothers as a sponsor. Stater Brothers is not going to be happy if Food for Less shows up with their branding all over their stuff, just like Dr. Pepper wouldn't be happy if Coca-Cola showed up. So we just have to be very respectful of the funding partners. So again, you know, if Home Depot comes out, you know, maybe you have a connection with Home Depot or Lowe's or somebody like that, and they want to send some people out, we encourage that, but they do need to know that they won't be able to wear their corporate branding clothes.
Where are they going to put this
at? It's going to replace the existing playground that's there.
Oh, okay.
So Littlefield Schultes has two playgrounds. It's got a tot lot on one side that's in relatively good shape still.
Yeah.
But it's got a 5 to 12 playground that's been there for about 30 years and is in horrible condition. The challenge that we had with Littlefield Schultes was actually skipped over. It was supposed to be replaced in our CIP this year, but we kicked it to next year because we didn't have funding, because Littlefield Schultes doesn't qualify for block grant funding, which has funded all of our playgrounds. So we had to skip it because we didn't have funding. So when this Kaboom opportunity came around, Alex and I felt like this was a perfect opportunity to get that playground built and not impact any of our other funds. Yeah. So it's going to end up being a nice playground, good community event. We already had our design day. We had about 20 kids up at Kendall Elementary School.
I saw that.
So it went real good. Everything's moving along really well, and it's going to be a nice event for the city.
Yeah.
with Spotlight.
Juanita, you ready to give them the show?
Oh yeah, I was trying to get it all together for y'all. So, I'll start with our citywide events. In your package, you should have our Veterans Day flyer, which is actually this one. It should be attached to your packet and inside the book. Because we're really trying to push this from all angles. So what we have going on is our annual Veterans Day salute and parade, which will take place on Monday, November the 11th. This event will include veterans resources, a parade that will start over at the San Bernardino Police Department, which will end at Meadowbrook Park, where we'll have a ceremony honoring some of our local vets. We'll have some resources for veterans. We'll have a VIP area set up for the veterans where they'll receive free lunch that day, and we'll have some live entertainment as well as a couple of food vendors out at the park that day. That'll then, the ceremony should start around 12 p.m. We are also gearing up for our Route 66, which is scheduled to take place on October the 5th. The Route 66 flyer is also in the senior packet, in the Senior Olympic Games packet. Let me see. The Back to the Rendezvous will take place on October the 5th. The Parks and Rec and the Recreation team will be out that day providing kids' own activities. For this event, we'll be out providing activities from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And the activity will include a create your own classic car craft, where the kids will be making their own classic cars. And we have a game that our team has put together where the kids will roll the dice and do a mock race up with their cars at that event. Moving into some of our community center activities. This time in your packet, I've added the monthly newsletters for each one of the community centers, kind of to give you a snapshot of programming and what takes place there, and it gives you some information of what was taking place in the month of August and some snapshots of some of the summer information. And attached to each one of those are some of the general programs offered at each community center. All the community centers offer a variety of different programs, but they offer a general set of light programs, which include arts and crafts, fine arts, indoor-outdoor physical activity games, after-school supper program, and after-school homework help. Those are general programs that take place at all community centers. And then some sites have smaller specialty clubs, such as the Little Royals Club, which is at Ruby Compost, and the Kids Club, which is over at Hernandez, and then the Lytle Creek Bacon Club. So each community center has their special little clubs and things of that nature that they offer to the kids. We also have our youth sports program. Our soccer is gearing up right now. Soccer has actually already started. Skills assessment was last Saturday. We have 120 registered youth into this activity. They are practicing on Tuesdays and Thursdays at Nunez Park, and on Wednesdays at Lytle Creek Park, and games are taking place on Saturdays at Lytle Creek. We also have information from our CID program. I mentioned last time you saw me that they were hosting their family day. Their family day took place last Friday. They had 120 people attend that activity. They did a potluck style dinner and did some water games in their backyard area, and also showed a movie that day. And we also have the Take the Sunshine to Disney World fundraiser. I'm happy to announce that they have met their goal, and they will be taking 40 participants to the, from the CID to Disneyland on November the 24th, on 21st. Let me see, I have so much. Okay, and then at the bottom of the packet, we, as part of our youth sports program, our youth sports coordinator facilitates public safety, youth versus public safety games at the Hernandez Community Center. This is an attempt to put our public safety and our community youth together so that they can connect with each other and communicate and build relationships. and know who they can talk to and know who they can trust when they need something. So in opposed to seeing an officer in the neighborhood and just saying, oh no, they can establish a connection and make friends with these officers and build relationships with these officers. So we try to host these games at least once a month, and the next one coming up is scheduled for Friday, November the 1st, which will be our first one since summer. So we generally hold those games in the winter and the fall months with the public safety. We invite PD, probation, fire, different agencies like that to come and play a pickup game with the kids once a month. And this game will be the youth versus the San Bernardino County probation. And all the kids in the community and all of our community centers are invited to come and take part in this game. This game will take place from 5 to 6 p.m. on Friday, November the 1st. And last but not least is all of our current Halloween party information. So this is some of the activities that will be coming up in our community center as we move into October. My final thing that I wanted to talk about is our Westside Steppers were invited to perform in the LA County Fair Communities Day Parade. We had 60 youth participants attend this parade last Saturday. They had a wonderful time. They were able to bring friends and family, and they were provided with tickets to the fair for that day as well. Some of them had never even been there. We actually had a couple people who didn't even know what it was. I'm not sure how that's up. But they had an amazing time, and they're looking forward to marching in our upcoming Veterans Parade and our Winter Wonderland Parade that will be taking place in December. That's all I have.
That's it?
Yeah. I can go on, but that's all.
Lakeisha is up to her ears in senior game stuff, so she's included all of the flyers and information on the senior services that are going on, the senior events, and the senior games. There's a flyer in there, I believe, for the opening ceremony. So if anybody's able to attend that, those are always great. And then the closing ceremonies are good, too. So she's working hard and doing some great things for our senior. And then I'll go to the project updates. The splash pad project is done. All four of the splash pads are complete and operational. I'm sure you've seen the kids out there playing in them. Every time I drive by, there's somebody out there. So that one is wrapped up. The HVAC replacement at Hernandez Community Center. Actually, it's a complete roof replacement and HVAC replacement. They've pretty much completed the roof. They're working on getting the HVAC back in place now. It has gone over schedule by a couple of weeks, and it's hit some snags, let's just say that. But they're trying to get those worked out. I'm expecting an update from facilities on when these projects will be complete. Delman Heights has started, but is not very far along. I would suspect that's probably a couple weeks away, at least, from being completed. And then they'll be moving on to, actually, they're working on Fifth Street Senior Center now. But they're all in progress, and hopefully they'll get over their hurdles and get those done as quickly as possible. And the last one that I want to talk about is that Bobby Vega Park. Urban Conservation Corps applied for and received a grant of just over $150,000, and we're working with them to execute an agreement with the city so that they can have the work performed. And what they want to have done, what they're proposing to do at Bobby Vega Park, is install a quarter mile concrete walking path with four exercise stations, and then do some ADA access improvements to the playground and the restrooms and stuff like that. So we're working diligently on getting the paperwork end of it straightened out, and hopefully we'll see that happening here before too long.
Nice.
And that's about it. One thing that I do want to discuss with you guys, or at least let you guys know, is I'm talking to Public Works right now. We may, with the award of the Kaboom grant and the build date being moved up to November 16th, if you look at our revitalization calendar, we have a revitalization scheduled for the 9th. we may end up having to cancel that revitalization and redirect those volunteers up to the Kaboom Playground for a couple of reasons. I think it's a lot to ask to get volunteers to show up two weekends in a row, and it's also a lot to ask of our park staff, especially that time of year, because we're now coming into the Veterans Day Parade. We've got the air show. We've got Rendezvous 66. We got Winter Wonderland. Now we have Kaboom, which is a big commitment for our guys, and to expect them to work that weekend as well as all the special event weekends is not really fair to them or their families. So I suspect that, and I'm going to discuss it with the city manager's office and get their approval on it too, but I suspect that we're going to be canceling that from the night.
That makes sense.
All right.
How many employees do you guys have at the parks?
Well, we've been split. Now parks maintenance is with Parks Maintenance is with Public Works, and they recently lost several employees. They have three.
Richard's going to retire. When you retire.
Parks has three full-time employees, and Parks Maintenance has three full-time employees, and four if you include the cemetery caretaker, and two part-time employees.
That's a lot for those guys.
There's 44 parks, almost 600 acres, and they're doing their best to handle it. They are recruiting to fill a full-time position, and they're recruiting to fill probably four part-time positions, so that'd be critical. And then on the recreation side of things, you know, we've got, how many full-timers do you have?
I have
six?
Five under me. Well, with me, six, and then we have about, I want to say, 25 part-timers in our community center.
Mm-hmm.
So on the rec side, maybe 30 people.
Split between?
Six facilities.
Six facilities.
And every single special event that comes into town.
Everyone that comes knocking on Jim's door.
Yeah. I get the email, so yeah.
So, and that does it for the director's report.
All righty. Now we're moving on to the Commissioner Oral report. Charlie?
None.
I have nothing.
Brian?
I have none. We covered it. Thanks.
All right. I have a couple things. I just wanted to say thank you to Lakeisha, who's not here, Juanita, and Jim for coming to the Community Builders meeting and sharing with us about the park programs. And I also wanted to let everybody know that the Neighborhood Association Council is doing a leadership academy, and it's free for, well, I've already told some of you about this. It's free for residents here. You just have to be 18 and over, so I'm going to hand out this flyer if you know anybody that's interested. We're going to be doing projects in the, we have grants. They'll be up to $1,000 each. I already gave you one. You know anybody?
I've shared it on social media.
Do you want from Lisa?
No, that's okay. I'll make a copy for her.
All right, so that's it.
Are you guys aware of the meeting that's going on at 6 o'clock tonight?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. For the vendors?
There's a meeting upstairs that where they're going to discuss the requirements and restrictions of street vendors with the new city ordinances. That's the day at 6 o'clock. That's why we're down here. But it might be beneficial.
It's good information.
Yeah, it's good information for parks people to know.
Oh, you just call it.
Doing it on the third floor?
Yeah, they're doing it in the arm.
So it's
sitting in your chair.
Six
people.
Can you
talk
about Messiah?
Yeah, I
ate. No, it's not in the day. It's at night.
I know.
It's kind of made for people that work.
If there's nothing else, we'll adjourn the meeting. It's 4:58. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Aye.
Okay. Yes, first and a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
What? Okay, so we'll see you on the 17th.
Take a go down here to that one.
Oh, yeah.